Friends, we are in the thick of the Christmas season. We really, really are. When I walked in and saw two of the candles lit already today, I'm like, this can't be possible. It's coming very, very quickly. And the trick is to enjoy it before it rushes right past us, right? That's the trick. Do you know what the greatest gift is that we can give each other? It's to follow Jesus' example and to give of ourselves, The best thing that we can do this time of year when it comes to others is this, it's to enjoy to the world. Enjoy to the world. Matt got us started last week on this Christmas journey that we're calling Enjoy to the World, and he did a good job just giving us that overarching theme of joy and what joy it is that Jesus brings, because Christmas is all about joy. And the joy that comes when Jesus comes into our lives. And it's because of Jesus being the joy to the world that now we can live a life that's in joy to the world, a message in joy to the rest of the world. Listen, the joy that Jesus teaches us to enjoy, and so it gives us, and so our lives should be living that enjoyment in every relationship that we have. And that's the direction that we're going to be going over the next couple of weeks, about enjoying in our relationships. With that in mind, I've picked a theme scripture verse for this journey during this Christmas season. It's Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. And it says this, "A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will himself be refreshed. We want to be about refreshing others, right? And when we refresh others, it automatically refreshes us. When we bring enjoyment to others, it brings enjoy to the world. And that's what we want to do in all of our relationships. So let's pray as we get ready to delve into this morning. God, thank you that you refresh us through what we do in refreshing others. Thank you, God, that Jesus is the joy of the world who comes to help us enjoy to the world. And that as the world sees us enjoying this life with Jesus in the midst of all of our relationships, they're going to see you, which is where we always want to focus everyone that we encounter to you, Jesus. Help us to enjoy this season and to enjoy our relationships, and lead us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, most of this journey is going to be kind of a rework of some material before that I've had in different directions, taken kind of in a new way. But I believe that it will lead us into a real challenge in our life. If any of it sounds at all familiar to you, and I think most of it probably isn't going to, but if it does, just allow it to still help you take a sober look at enjoying these kind of relationships that we're talking about for what they can and should be. Today, we're going to talk about enjoying your marriage. And don't you just like that clip from this movie, A Christmas Story with a Leg Lamp? It's such a funny clip. This is an example of a marriage that needs a little more focus on enjoying, right? It needs a little bit more focus there. It's easy to laugh at when it's in a movie or in a TV show. As a matter of fact, the majority of comedies focused around married couples are based on friction, aren't they? They're based on couples not getting along. From clear back to Ricky and Lucy Ricardo and I Love Lucy, to Tim and Jill Taylor and Home Improvements, to Ray and Deborah Barone and Everybody Loves Raymond, marital friction can be really funny to look at in shows. And the reason why is because most married couples can relate to at least some of it at some level. It can be funny to watch, but it's not so funny to live, is it? It's not so funny to be in the midst of marital friction. For those of us here who are married this morning, the best gift that you can give your spouse is to enjoy the gift of your marriage. Don't go for the piece of jewelry or for that new toolkit. Instead, think about what you can give of yourself so that your marriage becomes the song, Enjoy to the World. And I'm going to try to help us do that a little bit today. Now, I know that by doing a message on marriage, about enjoying your marriage, it's not going to be directly applicable to everybody who's in the room right now, because not everyone here is married. Yet, I bet that probably everyone in this room will agree that with the state of marriages in our world today, this topic merits our discussion. Somewhere around 50% of marriages that happen this year, that take place this year, will end in divorce. That data isn't real clear, but it looks like the divorce rate maybe has decreased a bit. However, that's partly due to the fact that a lot of couples aren't getting married to begin with, but are cohabitating instead, even though cohabitating has an even less rate of success than doing what God intends for us in marriage. The sad thing is that the statistics of divorce for people in the church doesn't appear to be much better than it does those out of the church. Marriage is such a sacred relationship instituted by God and merits taking a whole message for the subject from time to time. Would you agree? And so that's what we're going to do today. Plus, even if you're not married, you know others who are. If you've lost your spouse, first, we are just so sorry for you and your loss. But we're also very grateful for you and the years and the memories that you have with your spouse. And I pray that you can celebrate that as I share today. And I know that Christmas can be a particularly difficult time for you. But my prayer is that the Lord will bring to your mind the enjoying parts of your marriage as we talk today. And that maybe this can even be kind of a salve to your soul. If you're yet to marry and you hope to, you know what? Take good notes. Because you're going to want them someday. And if you're not currently married and you don't believe that you will be or will be again, still fill out the outline in this bulletin and you can pass it on to a married couple someday who you think could benefit from it, from the tips that we're going to bring. Before we get into some of the tips of enjoying marriage, let's take a closer look at the marriage that God used to bring joy to the world at Mary and Joseph. We actually don't know a whole lot about the marriage of Mary and Joseph, but there are a few things that we can glean, that we can take from Scripture that it shows us. First, it shows us that Joseph and Mary had commitment under the anointing of God. Commitment under the anointing of God. There was amazing commitment in the marriage of Joseph and Mary. I mean, you know the story. They're engaged to get married, and before they can say the final I do's, Mary lays it on Joseph that she's going to have a baby and that he's not the daddy, but God is. Yeah, right. Here's what it says in Matthew 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child. She was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. So Joseph gets the news. He finds out that she's pregnant and he's overjoyed, right? Wrong. He's dumbfounded. His world has just gotten rocked. And so we read in Matthew 1:19, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. You see, in their culture, marriage was a bit different than ours. So being engaged actually meant they were already partially married. They hadn't consummated the marriage, but they were already partially married. So to get out of the relationship, it would actually require a divorce to take place. Now, we can see from this that Joseph was an honorable man. He wasn't going to put Mary out to be stoned, which he had every right in their culture to do. But he also couldn't go through this marriage arrangement under the current circumstances. So he planned a quiet divorce until God clears things up for Joseph. He sends an angel to Joseph to verify Mary's story. This is God's work. And so from that point on, Joseph is all in. It says in Matthew 1:24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Friends, he completed the arrangement. He took his responsibility as husband and the father of a child to be that was not his. That's a huge commitment. That's a huge commitment. Huge commitment that we see in Joseph and Mary, not just to one another, but to God first. God called them and they stepped all the way into the plan that God had for them. It was going to be very hard just going through the pregnancy where everybody's going to look like clearly you've put the cart before the horse. That's hard enough, but it would only get more difficult. Commitment, friends, is essential in marriage, a marriage that you want to enjoy. A second thing we see in Joseph and Mary is this, that they had true grit. True grit. I had to use that phrase because it comes from a great John Wayne movie. And how often can you use a John Wayneism in a sermon, especially a Christmas sermon? But it's true. I mean, think about the grit. that Mary and Joseph had. She's like 9 months pregnant, and they had to travel 90-mile grueling trip to Bethlehem because a census has been called by Caesar Augustus, and they had to go to Joseph's hometown, which was Bethlehem. Luke 2:4 tells us, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. After they throw this pregnant woman on a camel or in a cart or travel by foot, we actually really don't know how they traveled, but they make this trip, these 90 miles, they get to Bethlehem only to find that there's no place open for her to deliver this baby that's had now one too many bounces and is ready to come. And so they end up in some cavern or some cave with these animals for delivery. And soon after the baby's born, God tells them to pack up and to move to Egypt because Herod's out to kill all the babies in Bethlehem. Listen, friends, this is a tough start to your marriage. I don't care how you spin it. A very difficult start. Even though they had the joy to the world born right in front of them, this was a tough venture that they would really need to have that would really take true grit. True grit. And in any marriage today that's going to beat the 50% divorce rate odds and that's going to be an enjoy to the world marriage, you know what? It's also going to take true grit. True grit. So as we take this biblical example of the mother and the earthly father of Jesus having a marriage built on commitment and to be the anointing of God and true grit, let's move on to look at some tips to having a marriage to enjoy. Now, as a framework for the rest of this message today, I'm looking at 10 D words, words that start with the letter D, that are tips to enjoying your marriage. But before we do, I want to share with you where this framework of these D words, this list comes from. When Caroline and I had been married for only 6 months, I stood up for a good friend who was getting married in the wedding party. But not only did I stand up for him, but he and his to-be wife asked that I would share the message at the wedding. So, you know, at this time, I was in a tux, standing with the other guys in the tuxes, and when it was time for the message, I stepped up front, and I shared a message that I called 10 D words to do for a stronger marriage, and then I stepped back into line. When I gave that message, I told my friends getting married that I was sharing with them from a whole 6 months experience in marriage. But that in that message, coming from a glossy-eyed newlywed friends, came 10 points that I believe were beyond my own knowledge and maturity level at the time. I believe that God actually inspired them, and I believe that for two reasons. For one, after that wedding, I had people who'd been married for much longer come up to me and tell me, I wish somebody had given us a list like that when we got married. And then I had one friend who asked me for a copy of the list of 10 things to take back to her Sunday school class of married couples so they could use it for a Sunday school lesson. I'd been married a whole 6 months. The second reason I believe that this list was beyond me is because when I pulled it out preparing for this message today, some 23 years later, I read through it and I'm thinking, wow, there's some really good stuff here. And to be honest, I'm also feeling pretty convicted by this list because Carol and I have drifted away on far too many of these things, but it's great stuff that we need to get back to that I absolutely believe will lead you to enjoy your marriage more. Absolutely, I believe it. And let me warn you, though, that some of you aren't going to like some of the things on this list. Some of these things may make you feel a little bit uncomfortable, or you may even feel are extreme or even a bit whacked. There may be even be some things on this list that you're going to wish that your spouse wasn't here to hear with you because you're now going to be held accountable for them. Listen, for those who may find some of this uncomfortable, I'm not telling you what you need to do today. I'm not. But I do believe that if you apply even some of these things, even some of them that you're not currently doing to your marriage may just change. It may go to some depths that it's never been to before. It may help you to find the enjoy in your marriage that you feel is missing. Most of the things from this list are just plain common sense practical things, but they're common sense practical things that many of us aren't doing in our marriages or aren't doing anymore. Some of you will be able to pat yourself on the back for how well you're doing, and that's great. I hope you feel encouraged. While others will say, I remember when we used to do that. And still others will say, well, that's a brand new idea to me. I truly believe that practicing these 10 D's will allow you to enjoy your spouse and your marriage more. We'll touch on most of them pretty quickly because, again, most of them are pretty common sense, self-explanatory things. Well, let's begin with number one. Number one D is dinner table. Dinner table. Friends, enjoy your marriage by always eating your meals around the kitchen or the dining room table. It doesn't matter if there's six of you or if there are two of you. Schedule a time for dinner when you can be together and be around the table. Get away from the TV, the phone, the texting, social media, tweeting, Facebooking, whatever. Get away from the iPads and the other distractions. Get away from all that. We get enough of all that stuff the rest of the day. The time around the dinner table can be some of the best times for conversation that you're going to have in your home all day long. And you know what? I believe Jesus knew that. Where did Jesus have the last meaningful discussion with his disciples? Do you remember? It was around the dinner table in the upper room. Listen to Jesus in Luke chapter 22, verse 15. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. Now, there are multiple reasons for Jesus' eagerness. I'm eager to eat with you. Multiple reasons, but friends, he chose to meet around a dinner table because when we're gathered around a food source that's going to sustain our bodies, we're often in a place of openness to one another. So dine with your spouse together around a table and talk about your day. What happened at work? What happened in your day? What's happened at home, etc. Some of the best memories that I have growing up were around the kitchen table. We had six in our family. We didn't have a dining room and a place for an official dining room. We had a round kitchen table that wasn't that large and not that large of a kitchen with really no walking room space behind us once we were seated. Once you were in your seat, you were kind of stuck there until dinner was done. And if you needed to reach for something else that was on the counter or on the stove, chances are somebody could turn around and grab it and put it on the table for you. And once my siblings and I got to high school, that habit kind of became less and less and less and less, and I wish it never would have gotten disturbed. I remember when I was grown then, we were grown up, my siblings and I, with our own families, and when my mom was still well before she died and before the Alzheimer's took away her ability to family, we'd all come back to my parents' house for Thanksgiving, and they didn't have a space big enough for a table for us to all sit around, but what my mom wanted, I believe, was this environment, so much so that she had my dad take every table they could find, and they'd set them up in our kind of pseudo-finished basement. And then we'd all get our plates of food and wind down the steps into that basement where I can hardly stand up straight and wedge ourselves into a seat all among one another till the whole room was filled. And you know what? It worked. And it was far better than us just being spread all over the house with a plate of food on our lap where we're only talking to the person right next to us. I know that this is a real challenge for some families with teens, but you know what? Take the challenge. Take the challenge. At the very least, have a mandatory couple days a week where everybody has dinner together around the table. Here's the second D on the list. The second D is date. Date. I don't care how old you are or how long you've been married. You still need to date your spouse. It's critical that couples continue dating one another after they've gotten married. James Dobson, founder of Focus on the Family, recommends that you go on a date once a week. Now, he qualifies a date as not only being going out and spending money on dinner or a movie, but maybe it's just taking a walk together. He said maybe it's walking down the lane to get your mail together and walking back, or maybe it's taking a few minutes to sit together on the couch somewhere just to get alone together, but at least once a week, do a date together. In one church where I served, there was this sweet, sweet couple that I would visit. And friends, he began with Parkinson's disease in his 30s. At the point that I was visiting them, he's in his early 60s. They were in their early 60s. He'd gone through every approved medication for Parkinson's disease that there was and ran the course of every drug. At this point, he was taking exploratory drugs to help him. And they would help some, but they also did things like give hallucinations and all kinds of other struggles. So often they just never left their home. What I loved the most about visiting them was hearing about their marriage. These two people deeply loved one another, and they intentionally did things to keep it healthy. They told me that when they had kids, they had two sons. When their sons were still at home when they were young, they said, we had a small table and two chairs set up in our bedroom so that after we put them to bed at night, we could have a little date at the table and chairs in our bedroom. We'd sit and have a cup of coffee or a piece of pie, or we'd just sit there and chat. Isn't that so sweet? So, so sweet. One time when I came to visit, they took me downstairs to the lower level of their house. She said, we call this our cottage by the lake. It was a basement that wasn't fully underground. One side was underground, the other was open like at ground level. And there were glass sliding doors there that led out to a pond that was in the neighborhood. And they called it their cottage by the lake. They had a sofa and a chair, and they had a small table with a couple chairs. Maybe it was the one from their bedroom, I don't know. And then they'd taken the two single beds that belonged to their boys, and they slid them together, and they strapped some belt around them to make this, create this king-size bed. And they said, you know, we aren't able to travel like other couples can do and like we really wanted to do in our marriage and our life, so we come down here sometimes to feel like we can get away to our cottage by the lake. Isn't that beautiful? I felt like they took me into this special private place of theirs just to show me. I felt so blessed to be there. They allowed me to step into this place that meant so much to them. And it's an experience that I just will cherish forever. I mean, doesn't it just melt your heart? This couple continually enjoyed their marriage, and they did everything they had to do to enjoy it until the end. You might say that they had true grit. You might say that they had an anointed commitment, making something that could have been so bad, so very beautiful. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, enjoy life with your wife, whom you love all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days, for this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Too many times, friends, we're so caught up in the meaningless and the empty labors of this life that we forget about what matters. Who matters the most in our life, our wife or our husband? You're meant to enjoy this life together. You're meant to enjoy it. Friends, continue to date your spouse like you're still courting him or her. I've talked to people who've not been on a date since the day I said I do. And you know what? So you know, that is wrong. It's wrong. Regular dating will completely change your marriage. I could go on with this one, but you know what? I'll move on to the next one. Here's the third D. It's going to sound strange until I explain it, but the third D is door. Door. And let me just ask you, when you have somebody who's an important guest who comes to your house, who comes to your home, you greet them at the door, right? And then you see them to the door when they leave. Am I correct? We have this habit in our family that when family or friends come to visit, we greet them at the door as much as we can. And when it's time for them to leave, we all walk them out. And at least one of us, usually all of us, will stand on the driveway and wave and wait till we see them drive all the way down our drive and take off down the road. Well, who's more important to you than your spouse? As much as possible, see your spouse to the door. Greet them when they come home at the door. Think how important they're going to feel they are to you when you intentionally get out of your bed in the morning if they're the one leaving first and walk them to the door. You can go back to bed if you have to. Or if you turn off the TV or your phone or the computer or put down the paper and you get up and you greet them at the door when they're coming home. Now, I know that some of you are thinking, oh, come on, Mark, is that really necessary? My spouse knows that I love them. Friends, I'm not talking about doing just what's necessary. I'm talking about beyond the necessary. I'm talking about commitment, and I'm talking about true grit here. These are the kind of things you do when you're committed to enjoying your marriage. When I was growing up, my mom always greeted my dad at the door when he came home from work, and they kissed when he came in. Every time I can remember, that's what they did. And you know what? It had a huge impact on me, and I know that it had a huge impact on them and their marriage as well. 1 Peter 4:14 says, "Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ." Now, Peter is talking here about Christian brothers and sisters actually greeting one another with a holy kiss. That was part of their culture. It's not so much a part of our culture. I'm not asking you to go leave and kiss one another. We may have some problems here if we do that. But what he's saying is to be intentional about how you greet those that you love in a way that lets them know that they're loved every time that you greet them. Here's the fourth D of enjoying your marriage. It's this: you have to do the dailies. The dailies. The D word, this D word is a reminder to do all the daily things that are vitally important to bring enjoyment to your marriage. Things like this: tell your spouse daily, several times a day, that you love him or her, that I love you. Don't buy the line that says, "My spouse knows that I love them. I don't need to say it because I show it." You know what? They do need to hear it. They do want to hear you say it. Your spouse wants to hear that. Tell your spouse daily that your marriage is forever. It's good for both of you to communicate your commitment to do that with your spouse, your true grit to push through it all on a regular basis. And if you have kids, it's great for them to hear you do and say that. Daily hold each other. Even if it's just the last moment in bed before you go to sleep at night, it's important to feel each other's warmth. I mean, think of it this way. Today may be the last day that you ever get a chance to hold your spouse. Something could happen tomorrow that could take them from this life. Today matters. Hold them today. Daily pray for one another. Too often we pray for others, but we forget the one who's closest and most important to us. Pray for your spouse and pray specifically about work situations or life situations or relationship needs or whatever it is. Daily pray together. Praying together will bring you together in a way that nothing else can. Daily study God's word together and on your own, even if you're only reading a chapter of the Bible together a day. Remember, your marriage isn't just between you and your spouse. It's a covenant you've made with God. So how about including God in it? Daily rise and retire together as much as possible. Go to bed together at the same time and get up together. Now, I know that some for you, that's going to be a sacrifice because some here are night owls while others are early to bed and early rise people, but it's simply, friends, a healthy thing to do. Maybe it means that one's going to stay up a little later than they prefer and the other's going to go to bed a little earlier than they prefer. Maybe one of you just needs to read a while in bed before you go to sleep, but it's called compromise. Compromise. Hebrews 3:13 tells us, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." These daily encouragements are important, and they help us to keep in check from sin. We're to do that with one another, and we're to do that with one another in our marriages. Friends, I get that these dailies can be hard, and my wife and I need to be reminded of some of them right now, but they matter, and we need to do them. Our marriage is the absolute strongest when we do. The fifth D tip is this: it's differences. Differences. Understand that you're going to have differences. Never begrudge the differences. Respect them. Allow them and embrace them. Look at your differences as a seasoning to your marriage. Maybe one of the ways you can bring enjoyment to your marriage right now is to ask forgiveness to your spouse for all the times you've been trying to change them, to make them more like you, and instead embrace them for the different person that they are. When there are major differences in married couples, it can be really hard. We have a couple who are friends of ours who, I'm telling you, they're like bipolar different from one another. So different in personality. The first 2 years of their marriage, it was very difficult. And now after many years of their marriage, it's still fiery sometimes. Yet they've learned to embrace the differences and to have a very strong relationship that they continue to build on every day. And here's the thing, that it's partly their differences that makes them so beautiful together. That makes them beautiful together. Romans 12:16 says, "Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all." Don't look at your spouse right now. Don't think that you know it all. No, I'm not suggesting to you that your spouse is more than ordinary or you're more than ordinary and that the other is lower. Not at all. This verse is talking about not seeing yourself better than others. And in essence, when we see our spouse different from us and we see that as wrong, we're suggesting that our way's better. This verse suggests that we enjoy each other's company without the thought of one being better or more right than the other one. Without a doubt, if you pit your differences against each other in your marriage, you won't be enjoying it very much. You won't enjoy it very much that way. Here's the sixth D. The sixth is do it. This one's simple, friends. Whenever a caring act comes to mind, don't hesitate, don't stop and think about it, don't pass go and collect 200. Do it. I told you that this list was 23 years old because this is the old Nike slogan, just do it. It's been around forever and it's a great slogan. Enjoy your marriage by not putting off doing the things that encourage and show care to your spouse. If the thought of flowers or cards or candy or balloons or washing the dishes or taking out the trash or cleaning out the car, I don't care what it is. If a thoughtful act comes to you, just do it before it has a chance to leave your mind. The sooner you stop responding to those caring ideas, the sooner those thoughts stop coming to your mind altogether. So when they come to your mind, just do them. Proverbs 3:27 says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it." To do it. Christmas is a great time to enjoy your marriage by how you do for one another, not by what you buy for one another. Seventh D in this list is actually two D words. And it's the words dedication and defense. Dedication and defense. Listen to this. If you want to bring enjoyment to your spouse in your marriage, then in every situation, stand up for your spouse. Never ever ridicule them or allow them to be ridiculed. Don't use sarcastic, belittling, digging humor with or about them ever. Don't do it with them. Don't do it when you're with your friends and they're not around or when you're with your coworkers. Always speak positive about your spouse. If you're a woman who's around the table with some other women from work or you're a guy who's in the break room with some other guys and they start taking turns saying negative things about their spouses or their marriage, absolutely refuse to get on that bandwagon. Change the topic or just walk away. Better yet, you start telling about the wonderful things about your spouse and the wonderful parts of your marriage. Your spouse needs to know that you have his or her back when they're present and when they're not present. Ephesians 4:29 tells us, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Is your speech about your spouse giving grace to those who hear? Friends, wife jokes and husband jokes are backhanded comments, whether they're present or not present, they're not funny. They're not funny. And they tear down instead of build up. The eighth D word is this, discipleship. In a Christian marriage, you're both deeply concerned about your spiritual growth and you're concerned about the spiritual growth of your spouse. Your spouse is your number one accountability partner. Encourage them to grow spiritually, but also allow them to encourage you without being defensive. Go to a life group together or a Bible study. Go to worship together. Read the Bible and spiritual books together. Go on a marriage enrichment weekend. Being a disciple means being a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. How can you build that into your spouse, build them up to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ? How can you let them build you up to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus? Acts 2:42 says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." That's not just for the body of Christ, that's also for you and your spouse. Devote yourself to those things. This should be part of our regular practice in Christian marriages. D word number 9, this again is two words. It's this, discuss decisions. Discuss them. Every big decision should be prayed about and then decided together, especially in the areas of your destiny. If you're all gung-ho about something, but your spouse's heart doesn't feel like this is the right thing, you know what? It's time to go back to prayer. Or if your spouse is all gung-ho about something, but in your heart you're like, this isn't right, you know what? It's time to go back to prayer. We have a friend who one time bought a car without discussing it with his wife. And get this, another time he bought a house without discussing it with his wife. I'm not making it up. Talk about a recipe for fireworks. If you're going to enjoy your marriage, you need to move through life's choices together. Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Submit to one another. Now, friends, before we go to the last D word on the list, there's one D word that's not on your page that's taboo. There's one D word never to use, and that D word is this: divorce. Enjoying your marriage means that you don't even utter that D word. It means that you're going to do whatever you can with true grit to push through it all. In our marriage, we decided when we got married that the divorce was a bad word for us. It's a word we weren't allowed to say. We're in this till the end. Some of you have been down that road already. I'm not placing any judgment on you at all if you've traveled that road, but I also believe that you'd never want to travel that road again. Am I right? I know that divorce sometimes happens, but really enjoying your marriage means that you're going to fight tooth and nail against that option. And that leads us to the last D word on our list. And it's this: until death do us part. Until death. The first place that the Bible talks about married relationship is Genesis chapter 2, the very second chapter of the Bible. And it says in Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And then in verses 23 and 24, it says, the man said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Friends, once you have one flesh, there's no way to get that flesh apart again unless you tear it. And that's why divorce is so very, very, very painful. You know, this marriage thing, this coming together with another person and becoming one thing that some of us are so blessed to experience is a sacred, sacred, sacred thing. Let's enjoy each other until death, and only death, separates us. As you think about enjoying to the world and living that in our relationships by enjoying your marriage this Christmas, what are three or four things from this list of D's that you can become more intentional about? I understand that the whole list may feel kind of daunting if you've not already made a determination to do some of these things in your marriage. So I'm not suggesting that anyone's going to be able to leave here today, automatically put all 10 of these D words into practice in your marriage. But which of these can you make a choice to start doing today because you want to enjoy your marriage more? Make it your Christmas gift to each other in your marriage, to this person who you love the most, your bride or your groom. It's time for us to love and to cherish. To love and to cherish our spouses, and to do whatever it takes to enjoy our marriages as God's designed for us to do, with God-ordained commitment and true grit. Let's pray together. Dear God, I am just so grateful. I'm so grateful for marriage. I'm so grateful for my marriage. I love my wife more today than the day we got married, and I'll love her more tomorrow than I do today. We have our times where we spit in fire, but God, we just love each other, and I'm so grateful for that. And Lord, it's that way for all of us. There are times that maybe there's spit and fire there, but are we going to make the intentional commitment to say not just the D word, I do, but the other D words that we've talked about today? Will we determine, will we be intentional about doing what we need to really enjoy our marriages? And so much of that is just to stop and to focus back in if we've been married for a while. We've just kind of gotten lazy. That's the truth. We get lazy about the intentionality of our most important relationship. And sometimes all of a sudden we find ourselves down the road a bit and saying, I'm just not enjoying this so much like I used to. Or maybe we even come to the point where we say, I'm not really enjoying this anymore at all. And it's because down the road we've dropped things off of what we should be doing in our marriages to be intentional about enjoying. Those daily things, dating, all the things we've talked about. God, I pray a blessing from you over our marriages, whether they're new or whether they've been going for a long time in this room. Blessings over marriages so that we will be intentional in our enjoyment, the, what you've given us to have. And I also pray a blessing over those who've lost their spouse who they've loved. And pray that in this season in particular, you will minister to their spirit, be a balm to their soul, a salve to their soul, remembering the wonderful memories of the good parts of their marriage, and that it will lift them up, that you, God, will lift them up. Thank you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. Friends, Jesus is the joy to the world. A joy that's come into the world so that we could enjoy to the rest of the world. Our relationships matter. And for those of us who are married, there's no more important one than with your spouse that God gave you to enjoy. It is a sacred gift. Cherish it. Build into it. Enjoy your spouse and love them. Do all the things that you need to do on your side. God will do all the things on his side. And enjoy. God bless. See y'all next week.